Maccabeus tore off his tabard and tossed it to an Ungoy steward standing beside a second set of steel doors opposite the kitchen. The passage beyond shared none of the feasting hall's traditional craftsmanship. Like those in most every other Covenant vessel, it was all smooth surfaces bathed in soft artificial light. The only difference was there were more obvious imperfections. Some of the light-emitting ceiling strips were burned out. Holographic door locks flickered. Near the end of the passage, coolant dripped from an overhead duct that had gone untended for so long that the greenish liquid had run down the wall and slicked across the floor. Then Maccabeus reached the gravity lift. It was out of service, but more to the point, it had never been in service, not since he had taken possession of the ship. The lift's circular shaft ran vertically through all of Rapid Conversion's decks, but the circuits that controlled its anti-gravity generators had been removed by the Sangeli, as had circuits for the cruiser's plasma cannon and a host of other advanced systems. The reason for this wholesale stripping of technology was simple. The Sangeli did not trust the Jirohane. As part of the species confirmation process, some of the Sangeli commanders had declared their strong suspicion before the High Council that the Jirohane's pack mentality would invariably bring the two species into conflict. Dominant Jirohane always fought their way to the top, the commanders argued, and they didn't believe even the Covenant's rigid hierarchy would be sufficient to moderate their natural urges. Until they proved themselves subservient, whatever peaceful urges they had should be aggressively encouraged. It was a reasonable argument, and the High Council imposed clear restrictions on the kinds of technology the Jirohane could use. And so, Maccabeus thought, did we set aside, out of pride, for a higher purpose. Instead of pressing a hollow switch to call an elevator, one of the allowable replacements for the gravlift, the chieftain simply turned around and slipped down onto a ladder, one of four evenly spaced around the shaft. Like the feasting hall's doors and beams, the ladder's construction was relatively crude. Although the ladder rungs were worn smooth from frequent use, there were burrs along the rails that indicated a hasty fabrication. There were gaps in the ladders at every deck, but crossing these involved a simple drop or leap, depending on the direction of travel. For the muscular Jirohane, this wasn't so much an inconvenience as exercise. Maccabeus knew the tank-encumbered Ungoy currently huffing and puffing up the ladders might disagree on this last point, but the shorter creatures were also extremely agile, and as the chieftain began his descent to the hangar, an Ungoy leapt to another ladder and let him pass. This sort of flexibility made the ladders more practical than an elevator, which would have limited travel to everyone up or everyone down. But Maccabeus knew the ladders had one more advantage. They tended to keep you humble. Before taking control of Rapid Conversion, the chieftain had been obliged to give a Sangeli delegation a tour so they could verify he hadn't repaired any of the prescribed systems. But the delegation had another item on their agenda. Immediately after the two commanders and their Helios guards had come aboard, they began to call out all the reasons why the cruiser was no longer worthy of a Sangeli commission. Starting with the size of the hangar bay where the tour began, one commander emphasized how small the space was, how it could only hold a handful of craft, and even then, only those of lesser type. As the list of flaws grew, Maccabeus had nodded in polite agreement, slowly leading the party toward the shaft. The second commander had boasted that gravity lifts were now ubiquitous, even on the smallest Sangeli ships, and the first sniped that only on a vessel such as this, a thing best used for target practice, would one find a device as obsolete as a mechanical lift. Indeed, the Sangeli commander had disdained, delivering the next line in a rehearsed critique. Given the limitations of its crew, I wonder how long even such a simple system will remain functional.
You are right, my lords,
Maccabeus had replied, his deep voice earnest.
In truth, the elevator proved so beyond our capabilities that we were forced to remove it.
The Sangeli commanders had shared a confused glance, but before either of them could ask how Maccabeus intended them to inspect the upper decks, the chieftain had used his powerful arms to pull himself up onto a ladder, leaving the Sangeli staring dumbfounded up the shaft. In his lifetime, Maccabeus had humbled many foes. But few victories were as satisfying as hearing those pompous Sangeli struggle up and down the ladders. Unlike the Jirohane and all other Covenant bipedal species, Sangeli's knees bent forward, not backwards. This unusual hinging didn't impede their motion on the ground, but it made climbing difficult. By the end of their inspection, the Sangheili were exhausted, mortified, and more than happy to have the crippled cruiser and its cunning barbarian of a shipmaster out of their fleet. This pleasant memory kept Maccabeus in reasonably good spirits, even as he leapt past a passage marked with flashing triangular symbols. These indicated portions of the ship that had fallen into disrepair, in some cases dangerously so, and the chieftain had been forced to lock them for his crew's own safety. In this respect, Maccabeus knew it was the Sangheili who had the last laugh. His crew did have limited technical ability. They had struggled just to keep Rapid Conversion's limited systems from falling apart, and the once mighty vessel really was nothing more than the Ministry of Tranquility survey tug the Sangheili allowed it to be. The chieftain's mood had dampened by the time he reached the bottom of the shaft, but as he swung into the passage that led to the hangar's airlock, his gloom quickly became unease. There was death in the hangar. Maccabeus could smell it.